We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, Pottawatomie County Commissioner Dee McKee joining us here in studio along with Public Works Director Peter Clark. We're talking about all the fun that is Public Works projects. I know it gets costly. You have a very costly department, Peter.
Well, I like to think of it that we add a lot of value. I don't try to think of it about all the dollars and cents, but yeah, it does take a lot of money to build infrastructure, and that is, there's no doubt about it, and it's a frustration, I know. When we know how the condition of our infrastructure, the need as our area is growing to invest in it. But yet, you know, it takes a lot of tax dollars to make those things happen, and those tax dollars are precious to everyone. You know, as a taxpayer, I know how much it takes each family as they pay into that.
I used to work in Emporia, and I used to joke with our other public works guy there, Mr. Abart. I don't think he's there anymore, but he'd always... They'd always joke around with him at the city commission meetings. Hey, you're costing us too much money, just way too much money. But they have different problems down there.
Maybe I'll give you just one little piece of good. Last week we did the open house for Corteva, which is a pioneer seed company, a Fortune 50 company that opened a warehouse there. And we got to see the size of their drones that they'll be using and working with farmers in the area to do seed testing and give some opportunity of growth to our county. And we owe that to a lot of work with Jack Alston, who is our economic development director, and he did work with the chamber here in Manhattan, who got the first notice, and they didn't have space in Manhattan to put that in. And we have an industrial park over there that made a difference. I think they say something like 20 jobs in the beginning, but they have additional things. So when we get more valuation, we can make Peter's life a little softer.
Yeah.
It requires infrastructure. Mm-hmm. There, as well as it will with the things we're talking about, the new school and the other things, and it becomes a bit of a challenge under a tax lid for counties to do some of what they're asking us to do. And I would just tell people that at least in our county, our taxes have been level. The increases have not been at the county level. We haven't even gone up a mill all the time I've been there, but the other things that are out there have increased, and I understand the problems with taxpayers who are on fixed incomes facing large increases, and some of those are the schools and other divisions that can increase. So it will be a constant conversation with Peter about what we put our money to. And my position, and I think it's almost all the commissioners, is the return on investment. When we're doing it, will it benefit in the long range for things that make it better for all taxpayers rather than just things that are nice but do not have an income source? At least as long as I've been there, that's pretty much what the economic development group does, and the Chamber of Commerce does the events and the ribbon cutting, but our Board of Economic Development are bankers and investors and players in the county. They can't be on the board unless they've done some investment work in some way. So it's interesting to be in one county, works one way, and work in the other, to understand the differences of who makes a difference.
Yeah.
Peter makes a difference.
I'm trying.
we have a caller here with a question. Go ahead, caller. You're on In Focus.
Good morning. Am I clear enough? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe you've discussed this already, and I missed it. However, Dee is battle-tested in Ford County and Pott County. A very, very intelligent lady, and she studies the subjects. And from what I hear Mr. Clark say, he's been in Manhattan. He knows what's going on. Have you considered, or has anyone ever brought up the point about at the Flush Corner? I know you spend a lot of money out there. However, with that, even with those speed signs out there, I see people go way in excess of the 60-mile zone. And I don't know how many multiple people have been killed and injured there and property damage. But what about a roundabout there? People are getting used to those. We got them here in town, Topeka, Manhattan, and they're learning how they work. And considering that that's almost halfway, I think that would be a good place for everybody to have to slow down, collect their thoughts, get off the other person's rear end on going down the highway and darting in and out. And I think that you have enough room there to make a nice big roundabout. And as you all know, there's no right angle accidents. A lady in Dodge City was just killed the other day. Police car hit her, threw her out of the car, ran over. Probably didn't have her seatbelt on. But anyway, I sure wish you all would take a look at that, and I'm pretty sure the state would go along with that. We've got one down there at Topeka that's got three roundabouts. We've got one on K18 with two, and everything seems to be working very, very smooth. So I would ask of you to at least look at that.
I'm going to let Peter answer that because we put it on our list. Go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate the input on that. And we made some improvements back in late 2016, 2017 that added some longer turn lanes and a slip lane for people to merge from flush onto 24. And since then, we've actually seen a pretty good reduction in accidents since those improvements were made. It's not totally accident-free. It's still an intersection that we are focused on. There's two... one major improvement that has been on the books that we even advocated to KDOT for, that's last year, and that was to do an interchange there, which would be to separate the grades, put flush road over Highway 24 on a bridge, and then have 24 have exit ramps onto flush road. That's in the U.S. 24 corridor plan that was done in 2009. It is a very expensive project, though. And right now we have not gotten funding for that to move forward, but it's something that I think that KDOT is in favor of, in the sense of from a design perspective, they are okay with that type of design in that location. I do not know if they would be supportive of the roundabout there because of the higher speeds on the approach. They may, and you can always make that inquiry, but I know when they were reviewing the different alternatives of what to do there, whether it be a traffic signal or an interchange or a roundabout. The interchange is what settled as the option that's preferred by KDOT and also among the different entities like Pottawatomie County and St. George and Wamego and Manhattan when they reviewed the study.
That is a challenge because KDOT, it's under their control. It's their Highway 24. It's what they get to take care of and tell us what we're going to have. And the funding we've shared in the projects, but they have to predetermine them, so that makes kind of a challenge. It's gotten better. I think we're going to extend and make a lane by Blackjack Road over there so that they can go east and merge.
In the next year or so, there's going to be a construction project to replace the eastbound bridge over Blackjack Creek, which is just to the east of Blackjack Road. And we've asked KDOT that when they're doing that project to add some turn lanes at Blackjack Road, which is a major intersection for the USD 323 school district, getting to and from their elementary school in St. George.
Thank you for your comments. It's challenging when anything's tied to the state highways that we have to go through what they will approve. One of the things that we've participated in for folks that might be over at Wamego is a stoplight starts the discussion and contribution to getting stoplights on Columbian Road and Highway 24. That has been approved by the state, and all the kids over there go to the football games. There have been a recent accident or two. Life watched out of there, too. So we have a busy road, and it's not going to get any less. We had 80 housing starts last month in our county approved. And so we continue to grow and ask the question if each house, I always say it has about two cars per house. I'm not sure whether, Peter says it's better than that.
Well, I'd say on average.
Times they go in and out.
On average, we're looking at 4 to 6 trips per day per house, you know, based on all the different things that people do, going to work and school, and et cetera.
All right. Well, while we're on the topic of roads here, we have just a few minutes left, but I'll have you, Peter, if you want to highlight some road conditions for us.
Well, we've been battling some interesting weather for the last couple weeks, and it's not been as bad as last year in the sense of the amount of precipitation, but it's still been a good amount of moisture, and it's been of the frozen type, which has not done a whole lot of good for us. And I think we've done a great job with our crews in tackling the paved roads. They've been right on top of that, getting our paved roads cleared in a quick manner. The gravel roads, even though we've been putting a lot of effort on it, has been very difficult. Our motor grader operators have been working diligently to try to keep the gravel roads passable, but the ice that's been on them has been very difficult to manage. They try to scarify with different kinds of blades to make put some sort of traction on those gravel roads. It's hard to remove all the ice itself without taking up the surface of the road too, which will be very difficult to replace in the future. So they try to scarify it, but what happens is you have a day like yesterday, and the day before, warms up just enough to get that ice to melt on top, and then it gets down in the 20s at night and refreezes, and then it's just as slick as it was the day before. And our guys have been trying very hard to get those roads passable for all the farmers, for all the people who live on gravel roads. And they've made a good difference, but it's still very slick out there. And as we get warmer weather, the ice will disappear, and it's going to be very soft conditions like it normally is this time of year after you have a freeze thaw. That top section of the gravel road, you know, gets expanded, and then it melts out, and then it creates a very squishy condition. And I expect that we'll probably have a couple more freeze thaw cycles before we really get into the spring. So if it's muddy and sticky now, it's probably going to get worse, and I hate saying that. But it's very hard for us to manage it this time of year. We don't haul a lot of rock this time of year.
You could tell them how much rock we hauled last
year. We hauled a lot of rock last year, trying to make up for all the road conditions.
Twice as much as usual?
You know, well, it was all within our budget. We spent everything in our budget.
But compared to a year before.
You know, well, usually we've had some carryover because we're budgeted for about 90,000 tons of rock. And usually we get about 75 of it hauled, and some of that money gets carried over.
We did privatization of hauling, which added cost to get it done.
Exactly. We contracted a number of our haulers in the county to assist us so that we could get the rock hauled to all those roads that were suffering in 2019. It happened later in the year than we wanted, but it is. A lot of those roads got that rock, and those roads, thankfully, are in decent shape. We have some stuff to work with, but it did not solve every problem in the county, and we're going to have to be hauling a good amount of rock this spring, as we usually do, to make up for those very poor gravel road conditions, to make those roads usable by all of the people who make this county run, which are our farmers and ranchers.
Good news for the car wash people across the county.
Yeah, no doubt.
Very much so.
Somebody always benefits from the challenge. So we're economic. Talk about it as economic development. Maybe we can get away with it.
We all get to take a little bit of the gravel roads home with us everywhere we go.
Yeah, right
park,
on.
Park it where you want it on your driveway. It'll fall off the car.
Well, very good. So I guess the key here is just be careful out there and take it slow. Well, Dee McKee, Peter Clark, we appreciate you coming out here today, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right. Stay tuned. More in Focus continues after this on KMAN.